Beitza Perik Beis, Mishnah Aleph, 2:1. New Perik, much more of the same. We have Machlokes in between Basil and Beishalmi regarding the halachas of Yom Tov. And the topic of this Mishnah is what you might call the halachas of Erev Tavshilin. Otherwise, you'll see there's not much on the Erev Tavshilin per se. But that's where we're headed with this Mishnah. So, what are we talking about here? Pretty much what we learned in the first Perik is that you can't do preparations on Yom Tov or Shabbos for Shabbos or Yom Tov, respectively, under normal circumstances. And we also learned that while there's some leniencies regarding Malach and Yom Tov, the basic leniency revolves around things that are Tarche Ochel Nefesh, things that you need to do to prepare food and have food to eat, and quality food to eat, on Yom Tov. Now, based on that, it would seem that one would not be allowed to cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos. So if you had a Shabbos immediately after Yom Tov, it would seem from what I said so far that you would not be allowed to do any cooking on Yom Tov for that Shabbos. However, it's going to turn out that mid-oraisa on a Torah level, one is allowed to cook under certain circumstances, under most circumstances, on Yom Tov for Shabbos. And the rationale why it's permitted mid-oraisa is machlokus between Rab and Rav Chista and the Gemara. And Rabba says it's because you always could have guests coming on Yom Tov, and therefore if you cook on Yom Tov, making extra food, which you ultimately will use on Shabbos, you have that food around on Yom Tov, which can be used on Yom Tov, because now it's at the ready, should any guests arrive. And since you're always allowed to do cooking on Yom Tov for the sake of Yom Tov, so you have food for guests, so you could also rely on that kind of, I'll call it loophole, to cook for Shabbos on Yom Tov. That's Rabba's approach. Rav Chista's approach is much more straightforward, and he says that the Kedusha of Yom Tov and the immediately subsequent Shabbos are connected, so the allowance the Torah gives to do cooking on Yom Tov for the sake of enjoying Yom Tov also extends to cooking for the sake of enjoying Shabbos. Now, Rabba really is, you could think of it as being the more strict of the opinions in certain ways, in as much as, let's say, for example, you want to make a challant for Shabbos, and the challant will not be ready at all on Yom Tov. So, according to Rabba, well, you can't start making a challant in the last hour of Yom Tov if tomorrow is Shabbos, because that won't be a challant that people could eat on Yom Tov, and therefore it would be, you know, not fall into the dispensation of having food ready for guests on Yom Tov itself. And ultimately, the Mishnah Berurah will say with the Machmir, like the Shita of Rabba. So that means that we are allowed to cook on a Dorais level on Yom Tov for Shabbos under certain circumstances, and we're going to be Machmir both for Rabba as well. Now, according to the Din de Rabbanan, however, rabbinically, the rabbi said, no, we don't want people cooking willy-nilly, unrestrained on Yom Tov for Shabbos, even in the parameters that Rabba would allow. And the reason why is two possibilities are put forth in the Gemara. The first is to protect the sanctity, the kavod, the honor of Shabbos, and the second is to protect the honor of Yom Tov. What would that mean? So protecting the honor of Shabbos would mean that if a person didn't have to do his food preparations for Shabbos ahead of time, so he'd essentially eat whatever he ate on Yom Tov, and then essentially perhaps use the leftovers, not saving some special foods for Shabbos, and just leaving the leftovers for Shabbos, and that certainly is not acceptable. And therefore, we want a person to sort of set aside his Shabbos food ahead of time so he has proper food for Shabbos to protect the covet of Shabbos. As far as the covet of Yom Tov is concerned, the issue is if a person's allowed to start doing the cooking for Shabbos and Yom Tov, not unlike how you might see in many Jewish homes, much of Erev Shabbos, you know, Thursday day and Friday, Thursday night and Friday day is spent cooking for Shabbos. That could end up meaning that you'll spend much or most of your Yom Tov cooking for Shabbos. That's certainly not acceptable. That's all Yom Tov is there for. So we want to protect Yom Tov by ensuring people do their food preparations for Shabbos, at least largely, before Yom Tov comes in. And perhaps even worse, in terms of the dignity of Yom Tov, over time people could come to actually do food preparations on Yom Tov for the day after Yom Tov when it's just a regular chol, a regular weekday, a regular, you know, day of the week. So, for those reasons, the rabbi said, under normal circumstances, cooking on Yom Tov for Shabbos is going to be restricted. Now, restricted means that what one could do is cook something on Yom Tov where he knows full well that there's going to be leftovers and then use those leftovers for Shabbos. So, for example, you can make a chicken soup where you know there's only five of you in the family and you're going to have 10 bowls of soup worth in the pot and you're going to put the pot on the fire on Yom Tov. And you know, listen, so five bowls will be for today and five bowls will be for tomorrow. That's totally acceptable. Even though you're cooking for Shabbos as well, since it's rolled into the permitted cooking on Yom Tov, for Yom Tov's sake, and since we said Midorais, that's permitted anyways, so it's going to be allowed. You're not doing a special preparation of Shabbos alone, exclusive Shabbos prep on Yom Tov. That would go so far as to say that while it's, yes, permitted to make such a soup, you also could even, let's say you had the soup on the fire, and then you realize, oh, you know what? You'd like to have some boiled chicken on Shabbos. You could even put a raw chicken, in that soup. Even if the 100% of that chicken is going to be eaten on Shabbos, none of it on Yom Tov, that would still be permitted. Why? Because the soup that you're going to be eating on Yom Tov will benefit from the flavor of the chicken. So therefore, it's permitted. In contrast, you couldn't say, oh, I'd like to have some, you know, boiled potatoes on Shabbos, so I'll put some potatoes in the soup that I'm cooking for Yom Tov. That would be not allowed. Because since the potatoes are not for Yom Tov, they're for Shabbos. And since the potatoes don't add any flavor to the soup, if anything, they take away the flavor from the soup. So that would be forbidden to put the potatoes in a soup that's on the fire already, cooking some soup for Yom Tov. Again, what you could do, just closing the circle, is make a soup initially that has some potatoes inside of it, if you so choose, when you put it all at once, and then the soup will be for now and the potatoes will be for later. On Shabbos, that would be okay. That's one way. There's a second way. And the second way is that a person could do cooking on Yom Tov to prepare a food that's exclusively for Shabbos, provided that he uses the rabbinic mechanism called the Eruv Tavshilin. So the word Eruv Tavshilin means something like the uniting or combining of foods, of Tavshilin, of dishes of food, but it's lost in translation. As I said back in Maseches Erevin, there are three basic categories of Erevin in the Mishnah, in the Torah, and they are totally unrelated one to the other. They sound they're connected, but they're totally unconnected. There's Eruv Chatzeros, Eruve Tchumen, and Eruve Tavshilin. They just, all three things are totally unique, distinct, and don't have anything to do necessarily one with the other. Eruv Tavshilin is the mechanism which allows you to cook for Shabbos on Yom Tov. Eruv Tchumen allows you to gerrymander, you know, the Tchum, the zone in which you're allowed to travel on Shabbos. And Eruv Chatzeros allows you to combine your residencies to carry from one Rishos Yachad to another Rishos Yachad, like in, say, an apartment building. All those are not related. But in Erev Tchumen, in Erev Tavshilin, what the rabbi said is, since the Torah allows cooking on Yom Tov for Shabbos, perhaps restricted by the restrictions that are set forth by Rabbah, meaning it has to be ready on Yom Tov still, but whatever the case is, as the Torah permits it, and the rabbis forbade it to protect the sanctity of and the kavod of Shabbos or Yom Tov, but the rabbis say we only forbid it unless you employ our mechanism of Erev Tavshilin, in which case we permit it. What's the Erev Tavshilin? Erev Tavshilin basically boils down to making some food for Shabbos on the day before Shabbos, meaning on the day before Yom Tov, on Erev Yom Tov, you'll make some food for Shabbos already. That thing will function as your Erev Tavshilin. There's actually a bracha to be recited on the Erev Tavshilin. I'm sure you're familiar, because it's a rabbinic mechanism. It's a mitzvah. We want people to understand exactly what's happening, and why they're doing something that sort of is allowing them to do what would otherwise be forbidden rabbinically of cooking on Yom Tov or Shabbos. And it essentially basically boils down to making a dish for Shabbos before Yom Tov rolls in. The reason why that is an effective mechanism is because the whole reason the rabbis forbade cooking on Yom Tov for Shabbos is because they wanted to protect either the kavod of Shabbos Yom Tov. And if a person is preparing for Shabbos ahead of time on the, you know, let's call it on Thursday, the day before Yom Tov, which is the Friday, so then, of course, he has his Shabbos menu in mind. And he won't come to not set aside some good portions for Shabbos itself. And similarly, if he's preparing for cooking before Yom Tov for Shabbos already, so he won't end up spending his entire Yom Tov cooking for Shabbos. He's making preparations ahead of time. So, therefore, the rabbi said, as long as you employ our mechanism, the Erev Tavshilin, you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov something that's exclusively for Shabbos consumption. Now, in the end of the Mishnah, Be'ez Hashem, I'll come back to Halach Lamaisa, but now we'll just talk about, I'll give a little more color on the practicalities. But that's the gist of it. So our Mishnah is going to say now, inside, because the Mishnah, I said that all because the Mishnah says much fewer words than are needed to be said to explain what I just did. It says, Yom Tov Shechal Yos Erev Shabbos. If Yom Tov falls on the day before Shabbos, meaning on a Friday, Lo Yevashel Adam Batechila Miyom Tov LeShabbos. A person can't start cooking something anew, afresh, for Shabbos consumption on Yom Tov. Aval, however, what he could do is Mevashel Hu LeYom Tov. He could cook something for Yom Tov. He could bake that big, you know, 10 dish worth of large pot of soup. Vim host your host of the Shabbos. And if there's some left over, there's a second 5 bowls of soup, that's okay. He can leave that over for Shabbos. That means even if he knows intentionally, he does it with intention. He's making an extra quantity, so they'll have some for Shabbos, or he's putting in extra, you know, chickens, left chicken on Shabbos, etc. That's all going to be okay. Alternatively, he can actually create something that's and cook something on Yom Tov that's exclusive for Shabbos if va'osa tavshel me'erev Yom Tov v'somach alav l'Shabbos. If he makes a dish, this is the Erev Tavshilin, if he makes a dish on the day before Yom Tov, meaning on the Thursday evening, whatever it is, Thursday afternoon, I should say, really, v'somach alav l'Shabbos, he can rely on the beginning cooking that he did on the day before Shabbos, on Erev Yom Tov, for Shabbos. Be'shamay omrim shnei tavshilin. Be'shamay say, in order to set this Erev Tavshilin up, you need to cook actually 2 separate cooked dishes. And Be'shil omrim tavshil echad. Be'shil say, no, even a single cooked dish is sufficient. Ve'shavin, and they actually agree, badago veitza sha'alav, if you cook, let's say you cook some fish, and you crack egg on top of the fish, so you've got like eggs and fish together, that's shehen shnei tavshilin, even Be'sham would say that's considered to be 2 tavshilin. Okay, it's 2 different dishes together. Okay. V'achlo, sorry, now, achlo o sha'avad, if you ate or you lost your erev tavshilin, let's say your erev tavshilin was a hard-boiled egg, okay? So now you ate the hard-boiled eggs on Yom Tov, so, or you lost the hard-boiled eggs. Lo yivash alav b'techila. So now you've annulled, you've lost your Erev Tavshilin, and now you no longer are permitted to cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos. Because the point is the food's gone. Your Erev Tavshilin's lost and gone. Vim shir mimeno kolshu. However, if you still have some of it left over, you have some of the hard-boiled egg left over, then somach alav l'Shabbos. That's sufficient. That's okay. Even if you have some left, that's okay. You can rely on that little bit as being the Shabbos food, and then you can continue to cook something afresh on Yom Tov for Shabbos. Now, when it says kol shehu, any amount left of the Erev Tavshilin on Yom Tov, so normally kol shehu, any amount, means literally any amount, no matter how small. In fact, the bartender seems to learn that way. However, essentially, all the other Rishonim, like the Gemara, seems to understand that kol shehu actually means a kazayas. You have to have 1 olives volume of your dish that you cooked on Erev Yom Tov to function as your Erev Tavshilin. And kol shehu doesn't actually mean any amount. It means at least a kazayas, an olives amount. The bartender does suggest any amount, but that's very surprising. The other Meforshim don't know what to do with that exactly. Okay, halach lamaisa, the halacha is like Beis Hillel. We do allow Erev Tavshilin. You need to have just 1 dish. That being said, lecharchila, ideally, because, although the Mishnah makes no mention of this, there is a significant difference between cooking bishul and baking afia. The proper thing to do, ideally, is to have 2 things, both a cooked good, like that egg, and a baked good, like a loaf of bread, a challah. and to do both of those things, to cook something and bake something on Erev Yom Tov for Shabbos, to function as your Erev Tevshilin, and you have both those when you recite the bracha, you say this Erev Tevshilin, which will normally ideally comprise both a baked and cooked food, the challah and the egg, the boiled eggs, and you'll say that, you know, this Erev Tevshilin allows you to bake and cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos. However, I should say, and ideally, while the minimum amount is a kazayas, an olives amount for the cooked dish, the baked should be larger, ideally at least a kabeitza, that's an olives volume, meaning kabeitza and eggs volume, two olive volumes, and really for the sake of just conferring proper weight to it, it's proper to use a whole loaf of bread, not even like a piece, like a eggs amount of bread. But at all events, if you didn't make the bread or the bread got lost or eaten, you have nothing left of it at all, then certainly b'di'evid, after the fact, you can rely on your cooked dish is all you need to have to allow you to both cook and bake on Yom Tov for Shabbos.